David Hawkins is editor-in-chief of The Firewall, a nonprofit news site focused on American democracy. He's a friend of this radio station. He's been there for us for years when he was senior editor of CQ and Roll Call, and we just think the world of him. Okay, so let me ask you about Jerry Nadler. I grew up watching Jerry Nadler on the west side of Manhattan, I can tell you that much. And he's a take-no-prisoners guy. What can we expect from him?
Well, I think Jerry Nadler is in a pretty difficult place. Mrs. Pelosi, I think, is trying to push the House Democrats for tactical reasons to make to de-emphasize a little bit the oversight and investigation and drive for impeachment of President Trump.
Why is she doing that?
Because she thinks it's a political loser. Because she thinks if they're you know, as you well know, the oldest adage in politics is if you're going to take a shot at the king, you best not miss.
And you think they missed because of the Mueller report?
I think they did miss because of the Mueller report. And even if there are other things that are not Russia collusion or obstruction of justice related that Mr. Nadler finds, or even if he re-engineers the Mueller report, which is, as we're talking now, that's the big drive, not just to get release of the full Mueller report, but Mr. Nadler wants, you know, all the file boxes of all the raw material, too, so that they can sort of re-engineer the whole thing. I think that's a political loser. I think Mrs. Pelosi thinks it's a political loser, and that they should move up to talk about things that are going to drive people to say what the Democrats are for on policy, not just what they're against about the president. And so Nadler understands that tactically, but at the same time, back home in New York, I mean, you know, the Democratic base is just as rabid as the Republican base. And Mr. Nadler represents, as you know better than I, one of the basiest, one of the most liberal anti-Trump districts in the whole country. And unless he shows some teeth and shows some verve for continuing to investigate the president, he runs a challenge of getting in trouble back home with his own base.
I suppose that's true. So what about impeachment? Is impeachment completely off the table now?
No, I don't think it's I don't think it's completely off the table, because I think there are. It's getting pretty close to off the table. Of course, there are plenty of other investigations that the prosecutors federal prosecutors in Manhattan, are working on. I do think that the bulk of the Mueller report will become public. Remember, as you and I are speaking now, all we have to go on is Bob Barr's 1,500-word summary of a much longer document that Mr. Mueller delivered. Is there a chance that there's something in there that the Democrats feel like they could hang impeachment on? I suppose a small chance. Politically, undeniably, when the headline is no collusion, supports what the president's been saying all along. It gives him every reason to say he was vindicated on the most important thing, and that he is able to switch the narrative. I mean, the narrative has been switched from he's in trouble to he's got off the hook.
David Hawkins, an awful lot of senators are running for president. Sanders, Gillibrand, Klobuchar, Booker, Warren. What do you make of the fact that they're all senators? Does that change the equation at all?
My guess is that probably most of the senators that you just mentioned do not want to spend a bulk of the next year in an impeachment trial, right? So the civics lesson 101, right? The House would impeach, which is essentially like an indictment, and then the Senate would conduct a trial, which really would tie up all those senators who would rather be out in New Hampshire and Iowa and South Carolina and Nevada. They would be stuck in the Senate chamber on a trial, and it would be a diversion for many of them, especially if it's not going to work. Two thirds of the Senate, that means 20 Republicans. Gosh, there were only 12 Republicans to say no to the emergency wall declaration.
So let me go through these names with you. You tell me. Give me a very brief, because we only have about 4 minutes here, but a very brief, you know, assessment of chances. Sanders.
Oh, gosh. I think his time has passed. The Democrats don't do very well at giving people a second bite of the apple. They gave Mrs. Clinton a second bite of the apple, and look where that got them. So I've given him a 4 on his chances of 1 to 10. How do you like that?
Gillibrand.
2. She doesn't seem to be taking off. I don't understand it.
I understand.
She's a compelling speaker. Explain it to me.
Well, I don't think she is that compelling.
Okay.
I think she's sort of boring. You know, I don't think I'm winning any points with her. However, I don't see any excitement there. She had, of course, her number one issue was the Me Too, and that has not really taken off. In fact, she's gotten an awful lot of gaff for a certain Minnesota senator, Al Franken, who she got rid of. And a lot of Democrats are holding that against her. You can tell because when she has a town meeting, she always has to defend that. So that's something. And then she stood in front of the Trump Tower in order to yell about what he'd been doing. And that didn't seem to put her anywhere. So I don't think so. Okay, so let's go on with our list of Klobuchar. Now, she looked good in the beginning, but then some negative stories came out about her, the way she...
Right, stories about that she's very, very more than difficult on her staff, you know, bordering on abusive, the famous story about eating... demanding that, a comb to eat a salad to berate the staffer who forgot to bring a fork on a plane. That stuff is real. I mean, she is a very difficult boss, apparently. But she also has a compelling tone, and her launch in the snowstorm was awesome. I think she could do very well in Iowa in particular. So I think she's still in the hunt.
Booker.
I haven't heard much about Cory Booker lately.
Well, you know, he's around. He did a CNN town hall and all of that. The question with Booker is he seen as, in his case, moderate enough, or has he been stereotyped?
Right. There you go. And so where does he, what lane does he fit in, right? It's all about, you know, the cliche is the lanes. They're all running in different lanes. Not sure Booker's lane is all that well-defined.
Elizabeth Warren.
I think... that the Democrats do not want to nominate somebody that is going to be so, that the president is just going to berate as ceaselessly. So I don't know. I mean, she's real smart, and it's become such a polarizing, in-your-face move for the Democrats to go with Elizabeth Warren.
And a lot of people in the Democratic base really like her. We see that in the polls.
You absolutely do. You absolutely do. I mean, she's right. She and Senator Sanders are vying for the same so-called lane, right? The progressive, the super progressive lane. Don't know.
It's always great to talk to our pal David Hawkins, who is the editor-in-chief of The Firewall. And how do you get to The Firewall if you're just listening? You want to see it, David?
Thefirewall.us will take you to a place where you can sign up for our email newsletter. And that's what we've got while the site is still under construction, coming in May.
And The Firewall is, of course, a nonprofit news site focused on American democracy. David Hawkins, our great pal, is also former senior editor at CQ and Roll Call. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Alan.